If you want some of that action, you can head over to BetOnline, use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It doesn't have to be just betting on Austin Eckler numbers. You can bet on the NBA playoffs right now. Will the Dallas Mavericks come back? How about those NHL playoff action as well? You have golf, you've got tennis, you've got it. You got it right at your fingertips at BetOnline or on your mobile device. It's right there. All your up-to-date wagering and information at your fingertips. Just use our code BLEAV to get yourself that 50% welcome bonus and get yourself started, because bet online, where the game starts.
Ryan.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Ref the District, episode 177. If you're wondering where all the bells and whistles are going, my computer decided it was going to go on the fritz right before coming in, but that's not a problem because we're going to get it up there shortly enough. I'm Nathan Perry. We've got Trev and the Stoner in the house tonight. Again, full house, I think, second week in a row, which is nice. Wow. During these summer months, especially because we have so much to talk about. We're going to be talking about all the great things happening at camp. I've got a little game, even with the computer going on the fritz, I've got a backup for us for the game where we'll be talking about the camp. We'll be talking about Austin Eckler and what he's going to bring to the table in the cool down, specifically Austin Eckler. He has been very vocal, very active in the offseason, kind of going out about and talking about some things. So we're wanting to touch on those things that we've heard from him, what we've seen from him, and what he's going to be bringing to the table for the Washington Commanders. And then here in the warm-up, we're going to be talking about that linebacker core that has the NFL on notice. This is a big change for us Washington fans, as it has been very, very poor over the last few seasons. And after one offseason, they're the talk of the town, including Jamin Davis, the much maligned first round pick for the Washington Commanders. Let's go ahead and get into it, because again, my computer is not allowing me to do all the things. So I can't welcome those who have come into the chat, as we do stream live every Wednesday here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So you can catch us there at 7:30 Eastern. Join the conversation, get in here. And once I can get those comments, I'll make sure to read some of them off here live on air. Of course, if you're just catching us on the audio, that's okay too. Just leave us a rating and review. That way other people can find us, and you someday will have to join us here live on the show as well. Trev, this linebacker group is being talked about as, if not the best linebacker group, the second best linebacker group, better than the likes of even San Francisco. How has this happened in one offseason? We had Bostic, John Bostic, not too long ago. Cody Barton last year. You know, Kalik Hutson, even though I was a big Kalik Hutson guy. You know, this was our linebacker core. I mean, your favorite, Miracle Whip.
I know. Stud.
Yeah, so what has happened here in this one off season that all of a sudden people think Washington Commanders might have the best linebacker group?
Bobby Wagner. I mean, that's like probably 95% of it as of right now, so to speak. No disrespect to the other linebackers, but Frankie Louvu looks like he could be the guy that we've been missing for the past few years to partner up with a guy like Bobby Wagner. Just from his highlight tapes and things seen practice. But Jamin Davis has been there. Is it Jamin? Jamin? I never know how to say that dude's name. I was Jamin, you know, like Davis. I think with the way we drafted him, we should have probably thought we had a nationally high-ranked linebacking core, just because of, you know, we drafted him second round. We had John Bostic. I think we had Thomas Davis at one point too, to kind of mentor him. But nah, it's just Bobby Wagner, I guess, right now. Outside of him, and Frankie Louvu and Jamin Davis. It's a competitions there. I don't even know who's really after them. So I think it's a bunch of malarkey right now.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, we're not even in training camp and they're already linebacking core when the pads haven't even put on yet.
Well, let's remember this later, Stoner.
Yeah.
I know we're going to get there, but he's not ranked yet. Like nobody's ranking Jaden Daniels like anything high right now, but we have the number one, number two linebacking core right now on paper. Like I'll take it, but I just don't buy it just because we have Bobby Wagner. Like I said, no disrespect, but that's the reason why, but I just don't see how that and Frankie Louvu just elevates us up from the bottom to the top. It's just weird.
I mean, if maybe not the best Stoner, maybe at least the most improved.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's really crazy. The sort of the full 180 that this linebacker crew has done. I mean, just starting from 2020 when Ron Rivera came in, and hired Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator, everybody thought, man, we're going to have the best linebacking crew in the NFL. And for whatever reason, they decided they wanted veteran guys that they knew that can kind of just fill in. And you name some of them, guys like Mayo and Cole Holcomb was here at the time.
Oh my God, I forgot about Cole Holcomb.
Holcomb, right? And guys like that and Cody Barton last year, just guys who aren't supposed to be there at starting every game. So now you have this complete transformation to the point where we're going to talk about Jamin Davis might not get a whole lot of playing time, and his playing time may be at a completely different position.
I was about to say, he's going to get playing time, but it looks like he's might see a little bit more time on the edge.
Right. But still he's got four guys in front of him that are very capable defensive, edges, defensive linebacker / edges. So that's going to limit his playing time as well. But you bring in a guy like Bobby Wagner, who's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is the epitome of what a linebacker should be. He's smart. He's tough. He's injury free. He doesn't miss a lot of tackles. He can cover, he's a four or three down back, however you want to describe it. He plays every play. He shows up every single week. And he's basically a coach on the field. And then you got Louvu, who, from all indications, looked amazing in camp. Of course, no pads, no tackling. He has a tackling issue, which is going to show up and it's going to, make us crazy. And then you got the Jordan McGee, who you drafted, right? And then you got Michael Walker, right? Now, he hasn't had sort of this great career or anything, but let's not forget. I mean, I remember him. I know the name because I remember him picking off Taylor Heinicke back 2 years ago, I think it was, when Heinicke was trying to take the team down the field against Atlanta at the end of the first half, and he threw it right to Walker, and that's how I remember him because I was screaming at Taylor Heinicke. But
sorry, I had to go through my catalog of all the Taylor Heinicke
years. You remember that one?
But yeah, that was.
It was right at the.
Don't remember that one. Kind of
right at the end of the half, and he just threw it right to him. It was crazy. But you have quality now, and they haven't shown anything on the field, of course, yet. But you have completely overturned the linebacker position, which was one of the weakest for the last 4 years. So just on paper, you've done a huge service to this defense. And you have guys who are coaching the defense, like Dan Quinn is a part of it, Joe Witt Jr., Ken Norton Jr., who is a coach in there, who's been a defensive coordinator many times. So I like what they've done with this linebacker core. And like you said, Nathan, I don't think they're going to be sitting there just having guys a 4-3 every single play and having the four guys rushing up field like we saw over and over and over again these last few years.
Yeah, I mean, when you listen to Joe Witt Jr. again last week, just fantastic presence, right? I mean, people talk about aura and the aura that Jaden Daniels has and that Bobby Wagner has. Joe Witt Jr. has some aura. to him. Sure. And when he talks about how this isn't 11 people, right? This isn't just the starters, that they're going to try to go 18 deep here. I think you're going to see a lot of that rotation. And yes, it is Jamin Davis, but I did put up here the Jamin linebacker group, but spelled it with Jamin's name. And it's fantastic to hear the things that that we're seeing there. I think it was, Franchise Talk. Did you all see the quote about Jamin Davis playing off the edge a little bit? Pretty interesting. I mean, he is seeing some time there. He is talking about how he's ready to feast. Like, this is, he can see that his talents are being unlocked because he was always athletically gifted. We've seen him go sideline to sideline and his ability to be disruptive, but he's never been put in a position from the previous group to be successful. And it seems like Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn are really working. And then you have the likes of a Bobby Wagner, which, Trev, you're giving a lot of credit to him being one of the names. I mean, this guy is a Hall of Famer. But it's not just the fact of his play on the field. He's a Hall of Famer for the things that he's bringing to the table, you know, off the field.
Yeah.
Or on the sidelines and the coaching aspect, you know, pardon me. But if you think that what he did with Sam Cosmi was great, Trev, what do you think he's doing with these linebackers?
Bobby Wagner? He's mentoring. He's being a leader. He is molding them to be the best player that they can be themselves. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily be exactly like Bobby Wagner, but he's bringing the best out of what they are saying they can bring to the table. So I think it's great. He's cool, calm, collected, but on the field, he's a maniac, which we like. But he's about business. He's a professional. I mean, you saw how he got after Jeremy Reeves. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about the comments, like just a little joking around, like he joked too much. Like, we don't know if he was joking or not, but just by that alone, just let you know, like, hey, we got some pros in the building right now, some leaders and actual leaders of men, not just Ron Rivera saying that and we're going out and pooping the field. So Bobby Wagner is a tremendous pick up. I still can't believe he's on. Like, I go back and, like, whenever there's a picture of him or a headline, I reread or relook like 10 times. I'm like, Bobby Wagner is literally in a Washington uniform. Yeah. Never in my entire Washington life I've ever thought Bobby Wagner would come here. Yeah. Same with Austin Eckler, who we're going to talk about. Yeah, it's just wild.
It really is wild. And you also have in that mix Jeremy Chinn, who came out over the last week, and he's talked about how he had opportunities and more money on the table elsewhere, but wanted to come to Washington. You have to want to come here. This isn't a team that is, you know, coming off like a NFC championship game loss, and you're going to be the missing piece that takes them over the edge. Like, you're hoping you sign here and that this coaching staff and the rest of the people they're bringing in, which is almost a full 50% roster update, are going to do something special. You know, Jeremy Chinn giving us 1 year, Bobby Wagner, I think one or maybe 2 years on his contract, but it's just, it's outstanding that these players, you can throw Zach Ertz in there as well, that they want to come here. And these are the types of players I think Washington's been missing out on. And that's, you know, these are players who will improve this team. And, you know, the last one I can think of that was really lauded as a free agent probably would have been William Jackson. Am I wrong there, son? Or is there somebody else who came in the offseason that people were like, this is one of the top guys? I mean, Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, that's it. Those two.
Same year.
That's it.
So,
but I mean, they got paid the big bucks.
They got paid
money to come here. Like, Curtis Samuel was the number two receiver that year in terms of the amount of money for free agents behind, I forget the guy who went to the Giants and was a total bust. And then William Jackson III was the number one money cornerback signed in the offseason. And it's going to be interesting also to see, I think, Jamin Davis in this linebacker crew, but I think Jamin Davis is what's going to, for our eyes, is going to tell the difference of coaching staffs from then until now, right? That's where we're really going to see the most difference in a coaching staff and how Jamin Davis is used and how well he performs. Because he's had 3 years under Rivera and Del Rio, 3 years, And he was basically, he would show up. We would see him every once in a while. But there's no doubt the talent is there. And everything you're hearing is that he's going to be playing all over the place. He's going to be playing linebacker. He's going to be playing edge. He's going to be playing inside, outside, all of that, because they're going to utilize his talents better. And so I think one player, if you want to know the difference between these two coaching staffs, keep an eye on Jamin Davis.
I like that.
Now, one of the other names that was listed here was McGee, the rookie, being somebody who people are looking forward to seeing. And there's a lot of players I think we're excited about, especially on the defense. Jamin Davis, Quan Martin, who we're going to talk about later. Super stoked about that one. But improving, how about these rookies? Washington, over the last 4 years, hasn't really got a lot of production out of the rookies. Sure. So what's, you know, and McGee's not coming in as a top, one of the top 100 picks either. Should we have excitement for him though, with what we've seen so far with Joe Witt Jr. And these linebackers?
Yes. Just basically off of like window shopping, so to speak. AP sought him out. You heard him on the phone call. They've been waiting for him. I can't believe he lasted it. Like, they wanted this guy. They saw the talent. You saw a little bit of highlight tape, what he did. I think Temple, right? He was a Temple. He's a hitter. He's a dog. He's aggressive. He's mean. And that's the playing style for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. And I have high hopes for that. I feel like every player that we drafted and signed off season, not every, but the majority, will have some type of role on this team. And they will get some kind of burn, whether it's, you know, two games here. No, you know, like it's going. We're going to use a lot of these players that we draft.
Yeah.
So I have really good high hopes because of the front office that we have that executed the draft as well as they did.
Well, we saw how many linebackers have played for Washington through the course of the year, and just look at last year when we saw a ton of Kalik Hudson, and we saw a ton of Mayo, right? Because your starters, Jamin Davis, got hurt. And so you're going to see plenty of McGee, and you're going to see plenty of probably Walker, because, you know, guys just don't go through a season normally without getting at least dinged up for a game or two. Right. So it's going to be important that those guys who are your backups are guys who you can trust and who can go in there. And so that's why McGee, even though, like you said, Nathan, he's like a fourth rounder?
Fifth rounder. We didn't have a fourth rounder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a fifth rounder. He's going to be counted on. He's going to have some trust that these coaches are going to have to put in him to play a lot, because they didn't go out and, other than Wagner and Luvu, right, your two starters, they didn't go out and get some backups. You got Luvu, you got Wagner, and you've got Jamin Davis, and then boom, you're into your backups.
There goes McGee right there.
That's McGee and Walker probably. Mm-hmm. But these guys, all linebackers are pretty much dogs, but these guys are dogs, and they're going to play a role this season.
Yeah,
especially if we're going by what Joe Witt Jr. said, 17, 18 rotational guys.
Yeah,
a lot of these late round draft picks are going to get some burn for sure. So
I attempted to actually take those 17, 18, what he said there, and try to figure out who the 18 are and figure out like who's the odd man or odd men out. Yeah, we're going to see some names that are. I mean, he's not literally saying we're going to stop at 18 and only 18 guys are playing. Yeah. But we're going to see some names that we've thought of as being contributors to this defense who are not going to be playing unless they have to.
I think partially to deviate from the linebacker talk real quick, that 17, 18 guys thing, what that tells me is we do have a couple impact defensive tackles. And if Johnny Newton pans out, we'll have three impact defensive tackles to kind of put in rotation. But when you play those guys, Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, 85%, 90%, 95% of the snaps over and over again from week one, and your bye week's not in week 14, you get diminishing returns. And so what I like hearing about that is, you know, they talk about putting people in position to be successful. But one of those things you do is you make sure that those guys have fresh legs, that they're mm-hmm. disruptive. And mm-hmm. what I'm hoping is that we can also see them in the right packages. How frustrating was it for Washington fans to routinely see Montez Sweat, Chase Young, you know, on the sidelines on a crucial third down?
Yeah.
You know, you don't see a Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne out there when it's a third and short and you're what are you doing? You know, it's okay to have a rotation, but like you need your studs in there when the game is on the line. And too often, even if they were seeing 90% of the snaps, that 10% was head scratcher. Why are they in there on those other snaps on a first and 10 that they just, you know, bust their tail off, maybe lost a third and 5, right? And take them out for a first and 10, you know, allow the, you know, give them a break and then bring them back on a third down where they can be disruptive. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm not a coach. I don't quite understand some of that stuff.
Yeah. Who do you think could be kind of one or two of the odd men out? And again, we're not saying that he's going to have 18 guys and that's mm-hmm. it. But if he's kind of saying 17 or 18, who are some guys who you think might not kind of fit into what they're trying to do? So I'm not saying roster spots. I'm just saying who doesn't fit what this defense wants to do.
I don't, it's too early for me to tell right now.
Yeah.
But you probably have a name, don't you?
Of course I do. I would.
I have a couple never, I can throw, but I don't think there'd be surprises.
You never ask a question you don't have the answer to already, right? So you don't have Reeves wasn't really ever in the rotation. Defensively, he was always a special teams guy, and he would just play when three safeties got hurt. But I don't like what I'm hearing. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm feeling about Mr. Forbes. I don't like the vibe I'm getting. It's just a vibe. Lockdown Law Nails. I don't like what's going on. You guys know I'm elite at reading what people are writing. Yes. Right. That's how I have come up with my daily quarterback ledger on good days or bad days, because nobody ever says anything bad, but you can read between the lines. And that's what I've been doing with this defense. And I do not have a good vibe about Forbes. I'm sorry. I'm not saying he won't make it. I'm not saying he can't improve all that. I just don't have good vibes.
We absolutely talked about that, I think, a couple of weeks ago, right? Forbes is CB4. Really? I mean, that's where he's probably going to be. You're going to see Benjamin St. Juice. You're going to see Davis, who is a new signing from the Chargers, who has had on years and off years. We're hoping this year is going to be an on year. You have Sanastrill in the slot. And then probably a couple other guys maybe. And then Forbes. I mean, realistically, Forbes is backing up one of the guys on the outside. It's going to be interesting. I do agree with C notes here. Percy Butler is another one that I would throw out, saying this guy is, he's probably going to have. He's not going to make a roster. I'm not saying he's not going to make the roster, but I mean, I don't think he's going to see a heavy on rotation. Yes, Trev.
I got another one. Christian Holmes.
That was another name I was going to mention, but that's not surprising, right? That guy's like
that wouldn't be surprising, but you could be right.
Yeah, 2 to 3 years. But that's one who I can see missing. I mean, you look at the players they came in. Is Christian Holmes going to make it over that undrafted free agent?
Right.
That they are raving about.
And it's also noticeable that they went after Steven, help me out, Steven, the guy who just retired instead of. A lot of teams were after him. Steven Nelson. Thank you. They went at Commanders were after him, or they, at least trying to see if he would be willing to come in. What did he say, Nathan?
What does that say about Forbes?
Right. That means you're not super comfortable with your, cornerbacks. And I think that all starts with Forbes. Benjamin St. Juice is Benjamin St. Juice, right? He's like, you bring in a guy already from the Chargers as your other guy, and Sanastrill is going to play every down.
Yeah.
He's that kind of guy. So if they're looking to bring in another corner, especially a guy of Nelson's pedigree, right? then that means somebody's getting knocked out of the rotation. And I don't think it's those first three guys we mentioned. I think it's probably Forbes. That's just an opinion. Nobody's reached out to me to tell me that he's having a bad mini camp or anything. And it's still way too early, right? But I just don't get good vibes from what's coming out of mini camp for that.
Sure. There are some maybe not good things coming out of camp, but there's a lot of good things that we're going to be talking about. And Gus Bus, don't worry. We've got a kicker talk coming up here shortly. I just, for 3 weeks in a row, couldn't do it to you.
Could not
bring up kickers 3 weeks in a row in the cool down or the warm up rather, but we will bring them up as we take on our camp takes. You're going to want to stay with us here on Ref the District, episode 177. Coming up for you.